And he granted it because he saw that he's a godly person who everything he does is successful, and that's why he appointed him. He didn't appoint him because it wasn't a random act of...
So because of his taking that he appointed him to the position before,
he got that position because he was the right man for the job. Because he deserved it. Okay, Shlomo, as does move in after form of us, state was as was Yehuda Shalach Lefanav El Yosef, Leheres Lefanav Geshna, Lifnes Leimakam, Leheres Eich Yis Yashuv Bo. Okay? We can say that this is also understood from the fact that it says that Yaakov sent Yehuda in front of the rest of them to go to Yosef to direct the way to Geshen. So one of the pshatim that Rashi brings in directing the way to Geshen is to clear out a place and to direct, to plan how to settle in. To Lecheir Avibavos Yosef Adami Fid Medaretz Mitzrayim. The question is, he's sending Yehuda to prepare their settlement in Eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef is on the spot. Yosef is the leader of the ruler of the entire land, and he's the one that gave them this prime property, the best of the land. So first of all, it's Yehuda. What do we need Yehuda for? That he should clear the place out, and he should set aside a place and direct them how to settle in.
They didn't know it was Yosef.
We're talking now, after Yosef revealed himself to his brothers.
The
brothers went back to Yaakov and said, Oid Yosef Chai.
Right.
Now, and he says that we should come settle in the tribe.
Okay.
And now it says that Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead to lay the plans to move in. Is that for moving? As Davka the taken from Yehuda is b'kechet Yosef. So obviously Beruchni is what's happening here is if Yaakov is it said not only that he sent Yehuda down, the other pshat in Rashi is he sent Yehuda to set up a yeshiva, but this pshat says that he sent Yehuda Pasha to check out the lay of the land and then plan the settlement. What does he have to plan the settlement if you have the most powerful man in the world on the spot? What do you have to send Yehuda for? So obviously, on a deeper level, what it's saying here is that there's something that in order to settle into the land, in order to settle into Golos in a proper way, you need the power of Yehuda. In order to be able for the youth to be able to go through the Golos in a proper way, in a way by Yachazuba, instead of being swallowed by it, but standing up and then actually inheriting whatever has to be taken out of the Golos. That comes with Kerech Yehuda. Yishleim Nekudas Habir Baza, and the Rebbe says, as he's going to explain later at length, but the Rebbe just lays out what the point is. You can say that the point of explanation is that Tegu from the Idn Be'elim Hazet is on in Zman HaGolos, Kol HaMalchus Nikus Nifres Al Shem Mitzrayim, Gufa Ken Zayin Eif Tzreifan. The power of a Jew in this world and in the time of Golos. Okay, and the reason why with the situation of the Yidden and Mitzrayim, the reason why that is representative of Golos, because we find in Chazal that say all the Golosim are referred to as Mitzrayim. Okay, so it's not just, Mitzrayim is not just one of the stops on the way, but Mitzrayim is symbolic of all Golos. Okay, so that the fact that the Jew, the survival and the strength of a Jew in the time of Golos could be in one of two ways. Aleph. Ein Tegel ist noch wiffels ist möglich, leute die Klollen von Chukke Atev und an Hogesreile. Und auf der Seite ins Mana Golos, leute die Medidas war Golos von Golos Chukke am Medinu Kiyetzu. One way of looking at a Jew's take from Golos is that it extends only so far as it's possible according to the rules of nature and the order of the natural order. And similarly, the survival of a Jew in time of Golos is based on the certain limitations that the Golos sets down, and the rules of the country in which the person finds himself, and so on. In other words, that a Jew, it's true that a Jew in every situation he is, he stands out, and he does not become not swallowed up and assimilated into the existing structure of where he settles himself. But rather, he stands out and he retains his full power to in the world. But we could say that force, that type, that strength that a Jew has in the world in general and in Golis in particular, is specifically limited to the natural order of things. I mean, only in so much as nature permits that a Jew thing, only so much as circumstances allow. Okay, the other way we can look at the taikuf of a yid in this world and in Golis, as state in ganzen hecha from kol nyoni elam ve'umot elam alachas kama kama from Golis. The Jew is entirely above and removed from all matters of the world and nations of the world, and especially of exile. Not only is he not bound by and governed by the forces of nature and the nations of the world and their rules, in fact he rules them. Okay? He runs the show. To the point that he has the power that if he stands up to it, the rules and the characteristics of the country change. Instead of, and not only doesn't he have to give in to and be bound by the rules of his host country and of the world and of nature in general, but he rewrites the rules by the shleima as the taker from Yehuda tut if as a yid is nit not a meishel v'sheil to nabal b'ayis of umaseil v'sman ha-golos like the klolim from veltum from golos. It does given by Yosef. But even as it stated in Ganzen Hecha, therefore in Kiddel Kama, you could say that Yosef represents the highest that a Jew could achieve within the natural order of things, within the organizational structure of Mitzrayim as it exists, with Pare at its head. So Yosef represents the highest state level of achievement and taker from Balabatishkeit. Yosef was the absolute total dictator and complete power boss of all the Goyim and everything, of all of Mitzrayim. But there were certain rules. There were certain things he could do. There were certain things he couldn't do. Okay? Rak Akisa Egdal Mimeka, but Akisa Egdal Mimeka, there were still certain limits. Pare is still the boss. And within the guidelines of his job, he was given tremendous powers. He was given unbelievable tremendous powers, but there were still certain guidelines. It's Dafki Yehuda that gives the care for the Jew to not be bound by any rules.
Could we bring this down all the way? Example, yeah? Let's say it's Shabbos Friday afternoon and in a real big rush. And you have to go through a red light, because otherwise you're just not going to make it. Yeah? And you go through a red light and you get a ticket. Okay? You get a ticket. So I'm saying, according to the Sikha, what I should be doing is tell the judge, listen, I'm sorry, it was Shabbos, I had to go.
Why?
He'll say, listen, I'm sorry, but
this is the law. What? What do you mean,
meditation? It's
meditation that you're paying, maybe the Eibush wants to give you an opportunity to make a sacrifice for Shabbos, like paying a ticket. He wants to give you the schus to be able to spend $55 on Shemir Shabbos and another $2,000 in additional insurance costs for the next 3 years, in the honor of Shabbos. I'll tell you my story. I'll tell you my story. The my story is like this. My uncle was once as an Arab Shabbos, and he had a baby at home, and he needed to get milk for the baby. It was Arab Shabbos. So he went through. He's on Ocean Parkway. Okay, he's living in Flatbush. He had to go to a place to get a milk. The Jewish stores around were all closed. It was right before Shabbos. It was a late Shabbos, so even the non-Jewish stores were already closed.
They were sick.
What?
They were sick.
No, but it was a baby. They needed milk for the baby, and it was right before Shabbos. So he started speeding. And he went through red lights, and he was speeding, and a cop pulls him over. And he says to the cop, write the ticket fast, because I have to get the milk. So the guy says, listen. You got, what do you mean? You can't speed. You can't go through red lights. It's dangerous. He said, your job is to ride the ticket. Ride it fast. I got to get more. Because it's Shabbos. That's what he told the cop. And the cop was so spoiled that he told him that, I don't care. Write me the, he didn't tell him, He didn't tell him, no, please don't give me a ticket on Shabbos. He didn't come and say, he said, no, he said, ride the ticket, just ride it fast, because it's Erev Shabbos. And I have to get home for Shabbos. The guy was so despoiled that he gave him a police escort to the store. He didn't give him the ticket. He gave him a police escort to the store to get the milk, and a police escort back that he should get home in time for Shabbos. So there's an example of, to come to the judge, a betzach, I don't want to pay the few bucks because it's Shabbos, that's coming like a schnarrer.
Yes, yes.
He said, no problem, give me the ticket, let's go, I'm in a rush. Shabbos. 2/17 of Vav. Wird mir das verstehen, leiden wir in dem Eifel von einem Hages Mordechai Yehudi, bis man Melech HaHashverosh. We'll understand this according to the explanation in the manner in which Mordechai Yehudi conducted himself in the time of King Ahasuerus. Was is given in a ähnliche Matze wie Yehuda, stehende Quayes, the Mordechai Yehudi found himself in a similar situation to Mordechai HaYehudi, as he was standing before Yosef. Warum? Ist es ein Dämmel gewähnt in Golus Paras und Madai, unter der Schlitte von Melech HaHashverosh, Abdei HaHashverosh Anam. His Jews were then, in the exile, the Persian exile, under the rulership of King HaHashverosh. As Chazal pointed out, that even after the miracle, we were still under the rule of Ahasuerus, we were still the servants of Ahasuerus. Nit vi b'mei Chanukah was given as man kiyum b'yashin, as opposed to the days of Chanukah, which took place in the time when the second Beis HaMikdash was standing. And afal pi kein, is when Mordechai given the hanhaga as le'yichra v'le'yishtachra. And still in all, Mordechai conducted himself in a manner that he did not kneel and he did not bow. Chach, kol avdei ha'melech gegeim v'keru v'mishtachim l'olman, ki kein tzivalei ha'melech, even though all the other servants of the king were kneeling and bowing before Haman, because this is what the king commanded. U'mordechai z'yishtan azei b'tekif, afilu ben avdei ha'melech ha'benem gizok, madu'a ha'te'ever es mitzvus ha'melech. And Mordechai stood with the same full strength and did not give in, even when the servants of the king called him on it and they said to him, why are you transgressing the commandment of the king? Okay, so now we're going to try to go deeper and explain this conduct of Mordechai. What is it based on? Where does Mordechai come off standing up to going against, even though he was under the rule of Ahasuerus, not following his edicts and not bowing at all to Haman? So it is like this. But again, the Mishnah from Melech Ahasuerus stated to Megillah says that Ken Yisrael Hamelech gave him last good saying Ahasuerus. And pertaining to the feast, which Ahasuerus had arranged, it says in the Gilas Esther that the king established that the service should be according to the desires of each individual person. Okay? Very often, kings who were dictators would establish certain rules that everyone who attended the party had to consume a certain amount of liquor, or had to drink a certain, eat a certain amount of food, or drink from a certain size cup, or so would often, in order to show their total power over their subjects, they would often impose upon them certain set amounts that each person had to drink or consume. And this party was unique in that Ahasuerus instituted that the portions and the types of food should all be, everything should be done according to the desires of each individual. No one should be forced to take more or less than whatever he's comfortable. Okay, so that it should be done according to the desire of each individual person. Zakt evdem de Gemara. So Gemara says on these words, Las is kirtzein ish v'ish, as this made, Las is kirtzein Mordechai v'Haman, to do to fulfill the desires of both Mordechai and Haman. It says to fulfill the desires of Ish va'Ish, which is a way of saying each person. It's a man, literally means desires of a man and a man. It means, it's a way in Hebrew of saying each person. But Chazal derived, learn from it that it's talking about two specific individuals. To do, lots of good saying Ish, do according to the desire of this one man, va'ish, and another man. Two men. Which two men? Mordechai and Haman. Mordechai d'chsev Ish Yehudi. Mordechai, we find is called Ish, as it says, Ish Yehudi. Haman d'chsev Ish Tzar v'Oyev. We find that Haman is referred to as Ish, because it says, Ish Tzar v'Oyev.
You're saying that Achashverosh had in mind to satisfy the desire of...
Well, in general, this is a question that the Gemara itself raises.
Because
when the Gemara says different intentions that a person had in mind, doesn't mean that they had all of those things in mind consciously. And the answer is not necessarily. Good. But it means in a general way what their intent was to... was an inclusive intent that included all these different things.
But obviously having the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash would certainly tend to exclude any possibility of Mordechai's...
No, that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara says that he fulfilled the desires of both Mordechai and Haman. So we have to understand what that explains, what that means. But still, that's what the Gemara says, that he did the party in such a way, last is good Saint Ishvich, to meet the will and desire of Mordechai and Haman. In Medrash, this same Chazal state is brought in Medrash. But in Medrash, I identify Tzvei Pirush. Medrash gives two explanations for this concept of Lasis Ketzain Mordechai and Ketzain Haman. Aleph. One way that the Medrash presents this concept is Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Eivish is said to Achashverosh, Ani eini yetzi midei b'riyosai, la'atam avakish Lasis Ketzain Ishvish. I can't manage to satisfy all my creations. In other words, when people have conflicting desires, I can't fulfill the desires of both. And you think you're gonna be able to fulfill the desires of each and every person? The way the world is set up and in the normal conduct of the world, two people want to marry one woman. Can she marry both of them? She can only marry either this one or this one. There's two ships that are meeting at a certain point. But one needs a northerly wind to go where it has to go. The other needs a southerly wind to go where it has to go. So can one wind lead both ships in the direction that they need to go?
Mm-hmm.
Either this one or that one.
A modern ship can anyway.
Mm-hmm.
A modern sailboat can. Yeah.
That's because you could create a reverse. That's because you could recreate a reverse.
Anyway, I don't mean that.
So, Elo Zeh. L'machas shnei bnei adam b'ayim l'fanecha b'din, ish Yehudi v'ish tzar v'eif. Tomorrow, two people are going to come before you in judgment. One is ish Yehudi, Mordechai. One is ish tzar v'eif, Haman. Yachal ata lotzis yidei shneim. You think you'll be able to satisfy both of them? Elo shatam reimim l'zeh v'tzeilav l'zeh. In the end, you will have to elevate one and string up, hang up the other. Das heißt, als Achashverosh hat in dem gemacht hat Teus, der Achashverosh made a mistake. Warum ist es nicht scheich durchführen zwei Haufchen bei Was Achas, zeig jetzt in Mordechai ist Yehudi, und zeig jetzt in Haman ist Sabaev. Lach in Kinterei HaKosov, ki lo yucha lotzi dei Mordechai bei Haman am Esnag. And so the Medrash is saying that this explanation, Allah is saying, Ish, that Hashem responded to him and said, fool, you're never going to be able to do it. It's impossible. You won't be. I can't do it. You certainly. I mean, at least the way I set up the world is such that it can be done, therefore you won't be able to do it either, and in the end, you'll end up having to choose one over the other. So here, the Pasuk is saying, you know, is pointing out that his desire, Lots Kitzanish V'esh, the Fe'anaf explains that the Pasuk is pointing this out to show what a fool he was, that it's impossible to accomplish fulfillment of conflicting desires.
Are you ever referring to Haman as a snagged over here?
What?
No, it says, Mordechai v'Haman, Haman is snagged him.
That's the exact quote from the Yafei Anaf. Beis, the other way that the Medrash presents this concept of Lassus Gatsenish is, Avhuna b'shem Rabbi Yamin ben Levi Amah. Avhuna in the name of Rabbi Yamin, the son of Levi, said, L'fisha be'ilam hazeh b'zman shiroch dremes min ha-sheves, ein roch dremes min ha-sheves. Since in this world, at the time that the northerly wind blows, the southerly wind does not blow. Avalu asid lovi, b'kivutz golius. But in the future, when the Eirusha will gather in the exiles, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eirusha says, Ani mevi ruach agastis lo'elam, sh'shtei ruches m'shamshes be'i. I am going to bring a wind into the world in which it blows in two directions. Mi yuzeh she'eser etzen yireyo, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'kosu be'i etzen yireyo v'yas. Who is the one that fulfills the desire of those that fear him? Even if it would seem to be two conflicting desires, that's the Eirush, as it says, Ritzan Yirei of Yasser, that he does the desires of those who fear him. Das Haste.
Agastis?
I have no idea. Das Haste, which is to say, and again here the Rebbe is quoting the Pirush of the Yafei Anaf on the Medrash, Avshe Yiu Beizel Umazeh, Yasser Havayi Rotzen Shneihem. Even if there will be two opposing desires, the Eirush will fulfill the will of both of them. Vahainu Ritzan Yirei of Yasser, V'es Shavosim Yishma. It says that Hashem does the will of those who fear him, and their plaints he hears. Even if this one's request opposes the other ones, Hashem will listen to both of them. As opposed to Ahasuerus, that he cannot do the will of the two people. The two opposing wills of those that were closest to him. Even though earlier in the Medrash it says that two people want to marry the same woman, it's impossible. So he says that's in the normal way in which the world is conducted, which is why the Fe'anaf explains, that's why it says b'noyek sheba'elam. In the customary way in which the world is conducted, Avo b'yirei Hashem, when it comes to those who fear God, Yapik v'tzein shneim chul, Eimush will fulfill the desires of both of them. Thus haste.
So how does that answer?
Thus haste says that Eimush ben Agosu lost love, that zechfir and an efim from lasses k'tzein yishuish, which is to say that the Eimush in the future will conduct himself in a manner of lasses k'tzein yishuish, that he will fulfill the desires of even those which are conflicting.
So somehow, in this example, two men were able to marry the same woman, or
he's not addressing that.
He brought it up again, though. He brought
not
it up.
Not addressing it. The Yafei Anaf says,
yeah,
that the example of two people wanting to marry one woman, that's in normal worldly affairs. When it comes to the desires of those who fear God, then he will fulfill the desires of both.
So he doesn't
say what kind of desires he's talking about.
No, but I'm saying what's the chiluk, the normal hanhagas versus.
What do you mean? What's the chiluk?
In other words,
in the normal hanhaga, when there's two opposing desires, you can't fulfill both of them. Lost in love, the Eibush will fulfill both of them. That's all it says.
In this category of those who fear Hashem.
That in the future, the way the Eibush will conduct himself is that he will fulfill the desires, opposing desires.
Obviously,
he hasn't explained that yet.
Okay.
But anyway.
Is he going to explain it in this, or?
Daf and Fashtein. From Stinus Lashna Gemara Anal, Kitzain Ish V'ish, Lassus Kitzain Mardchai V'Haman, Belishim Shlila B'Dava. is mashma as ich mit zad Achashverosh is dan oitei fazan hoge. So it seemed that even from Achashverosh's point of view, it's possible to have such a manner of behavior. In other words, the Medrash brings two statements. One statement that says, the Eved says, I don't even do it, so you certainly can't do it.
And he's a fool.
Right. The other statement of the Medrash says that you can do it, but I will do it in the future. So the Medrash, both ways that the Medrash says, is clear that Achashverosh can't do it. But the Gemara doesn't say that he can't do it. The Gemara just brings, last is good saying Achashverosh, good saying Mardukhai, good saying Hama, but it sounds like Achashverosh can do it. Ulcheira, wie stimmt es mit Divrei HaMedrash mit Amilsa Betayim und Leitbeda Pirushim? Also we can't eis fir and say the tzayin is hafchim. So how does the Gemara fit with the Medrash, with both Pirushim and the Medrash, which the Medrash gives an explanation for? It makes sense that you cannot fulfill two opposing wills. And if you look in footnote 40, it's very pashtus. Teichen HaGemara, who can make Teichen HaBemedrash. As we find in the explanation of the Marsha, that the meaning of the Gemara is similar to the meaning of the Medrash, that it means conflicting wills. Last could say, Mardukhai v'haman, shetal ha'kas of Klal Yisrael b'mardukhai v'haynu k'tzeinei, sh'loi l'achinu l'shteisim d'ar isa, b'mardukhai gufei v'adi l'lehi enene klam yisrael suda, v'chein tal ha'klal ha'iv d'kecham b'haman sh'ritzeinei v'chal achil. That doesn't mean that the will of Mardukhai himself, because Mardukhai himself didn't participate in the suda at all. It means right. That it, the Masha explains that the Chazal referred to Mardukhai as representative of the entire Jewish people and Haman as representative of all the non-Jewish people, that Mardukhai's desire is that they shouldn't partake of any forbidden foods. In other words, so Mardukhai's will is fulfilled that Ahasuerus won't force them to partake of anything which is forbidden, prohibited, and the will of Haman is to partake of all the foods. So again, there's the literal meaning of the even the most literal pshat of the Gemara is that they are opposing wills. I feel like in certain Pirush and Medrash, the Snabi Kechah Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Tudus Dafka Lasa Lava. And even according to the second pshat in the Medrash, which says that it is possible, it says it's only possible for the Eved Shteyn, even the Eved Shteyn only does it in the future, not now. Yeshleim ha'inyim b'za. B'shas es retzach b'nei k'sheb e'elam, b'minig e'elam ha'tivi. Al derech zeh mitzad dem e'vishn k'viyach v'yer zich m'slavish an hanhoges e'elam shem elikim. Ken tagin et zayn de anhoge von lastes g'tzein ish v'ish g'tzein mordechai v'ham. Al zi zanen zwei verkehrte r'tzein. Mas engem shas es retzach v'ing dem e'vishn v'yer steht herre v'anhoges e'elam. Wie es wird in das Gala werden lassen, glaube ich. Damals kann sein Lass, kann sein Lass, wie es beide der Zehn ist, hoffe ich ihm zusammen. When you're talking about the natural order of things, when you're talking about when the way the Avishter relates to the world as he is enclosed in nature, so there can be such a conduct of fulfilling opposing desires, because they're opposite. But when you talk about the Eved Shteyn as he transcends the normal order of creation of the world, as will be revealed in the future, then it's entirely possible to fulfill opposing wills and desires, that it is to fulfill at the same time two opposing wills together.
Kecha Atmos. Kecha Atmos.
Right. And thus is der Unterschied zwischen der Pirushim Bazeh in Gemara und im Medrash. This is the difference between the Pirushim and the Gemara and the Medrash. The Ash and Pirushim Medrash that Fidos is Beneik Shabbat. The first explanation the Medrash is talking about the normal state of affairs, the normal way that the world is conducted, is that Eved Shteyn himself doesn't do it. The Tzait Pirush that Fidos is Mitzadim Eved Shteyn Menagel Banagosu Losulo.
He doesn't do it when he's working through Shema Keva.
Right. That's the first person in the Medrash. The Eved Shteyn says, I myself don't do it.
Only
how are you going to do
it? He doesn't do it when he's working through the shame. through Teva.
That's the explanation of the Pirush. The Pirush says, I myself don't do. The explanation of the Pirush is that the Pirush is going according to the Eimshu, the way as he clothes himself in nature. That's the explanation of the first Pirush. The second Pirush, the Tzveta Pirush, this is Mitzadam Eimshu and Banagosi Vosilov. The second Pirush, which says that the Eimshu says, I can do it, and I will do it in the future, is referring to the Eimshu, the way he will conduct himself in the future. As he transcends the normal limitation of things. Und für mach mei sage mal kommt da ist das ich in dem Maß gesehen ist was man nach schwer ist gewesen hat ja er muss man sehr kann er ihr durch sein verbund mit dem ewigen sich aufhalten zu der Tage vom Oslov als bei ihm so sein Maß gesehen ist ich will kommen und die Mara which makes it sound like that it can be done the Maß gesehen ist which can be done nowadays in this world is because it's trying to teach us that a Jew even nowadays can lift himself up can elevate himself to a state of la'asud lava in which it can be done.
I thought when you say that in the future Hashem will transcend the limitations of Teva, that the whole chiddush of the future will be that Hashem will reveal himself on a higher level within nature.
Okay, that's exactly what we were saying, that he will relate to people. That there will be natural people, Ish, there will be people with desires, and the Ish will fulfill the opposing desires of those people. So he will transcend the limitations of the world, and he will conduct himself in that way within the world.
It's interesting the way he says it, that we can connect Bizman Hazeh to that level, La'asid level. So, I mean, L'chair, it would seem that you have to wait till La'asid level, because that's when it's available. But he's... How could, at the same time, something that's available, La'asid Lavo, restricted to that period, because it's called La'asid Lavo, but actually it's accessible now? How is that
Because we're
possible?
Saying that a Jew, through his connection to the Eivrish, has the capacity to transcend the limitations even of the times, the particular times that he's living, and connect to a time which doesn't have those limitations. The whole point of transcending limitations is you're transcending the limitations of time also. You know, just that we say that it's only then and not now is a limitation imposed on time.
Right.
When the person is going out of his limitations, he's connecting to the Eivish in a way that is higher than the natural limitations of the world. So he's also transcending the natural limitations of time. Therefore, those things which are shy to tomorrow are already here today.
But that's always been true of a Yid. If he were to raise himself up to a sufficiently high level, that he would be beyond, I mean, it would be more revealed in him that Hashem was beyond limitations. So what is the thing that this distinguishes that which has always been true from the time to come?
From the
future time.
You lost me. It's always been true that you could go out of the natural order of things and connect to a higher reality.
So then what's
but in the future, that will be the normal reality. That's a big difference.
Yeah.
What bigger difference than that could I possibly offer
you?
The explanation of this, the pnimius anyan. Achashverish b'shashu b'dusha geitev tem evishten kivayochel. Ahasuerus, in his spiritual source in the realms of holiness, refers to the Eivishter himself. Kimaimah Chazal, as the statement of Chazal, which is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, Ahasuerus Zeh Kodesh Baruch Hu, She'achris V'reishis Shalei. Ahasuerus, this refers to the Eivishter, for whom the end and the beginning are to him. Und ken yisar ha-melech geimu, Lasses Gezenius Verirsch, geht auf dem Eben wie der Eberscher hat eingestellt die Welt, als es dort erzählt ist, Verirsch. In this that we say that the king established, that it should be done the desires of each individual person, is referring to the Eberscher, that the Eberscher established the world in such a way that people have conflicting desires. People have free choice. Chirasi shel Odo, the free choice of a person sich zu führen, oder kürt sein Mordechai, oder kürt sein Ham. Lass es kürt sein Ish va Ish, per Pnimis and Yana means that the Eirish gives everyone a choice. You can choose between Ritzayin Mardechai or Ritzayin Haman. That's something that the Eirish gives to each individual person, the capacity to choose between Ritzayin Mardechai and Ritzayin Haman. As the Rambam says in the Laws of Tshuva, Rishus Tachal Adam Mesuna, permission is given to all men, Imratz Al-Hadis Atzma L'Derech Teva, if he wants to turn himself to a good path, V'Lias Tzadik, and to be a righteous person, Harshus B'Yodai, he has the ability, has the permission, Imratz Al-Hadis Atzma L'Derech Rov, V'Lias Rosh, Harshus B'Yodai. And if he so desires to turn himself to an evil path, and to be a wicked person, he has this option as well. Das ist aber neu, wenn ich gehe zu der Ätze mit Zius von Rotzen Ischwisch. Sei verkehrt der Zähnis und ein Mensch ist Becher in einer von sie. This is only explains the existence of the fact that there are these conflicting desires in existence. And a man can choose one of the two. So when we talk about the Eirish to set up a world in which there is Ritzayin Ishvish, we've only established that a man could choose one of those two. Mashenkim Lasis Kirtzayin Ishvish, to actually fulfill the desires of both, Tziyetzezayin, Leit Beda von Zay, Kenneth Eiskefer Berem Bepay. Something, a man cannot actually fulfill the desires of Mardechai and fulfill the desires of Haman. Weil der Ratzen von Mardechai ist in den Yannick Kedusha. Und der Ratzen von Haman ist in Yannick Hafke. A man in his free will can... The desire of Mardechai is for matters of holiness. The desires of Haman is for those things which oppose holiness and sanctity. And therefore, it is only possible for a person to actually do the desires of one of those. To actually accomplish the desire of both, it's not possible. Therefore, at one time, you can't actually carry out both desires in actuality. Either it's fulfilled the desire of Mardechai or the desire of Ham. And on an even deeper level, is the stira from Lazarus good saying is not their fat. Was bei meisten mit Peel kam in der Tonne mit Beidre Zehnes. On a deeper level, the conflict between the inherent contradiction in trying to fulfill the desires of both Mardechai and Haman is not only because in actuality you cannot do the deed, because the actual deed that Haman desires and the actual deed that Mardechai desires are opposites. And therefore, at one time you can't be doing both. But Nachmer, but rather even more, Ratzin Mardechai v'Haman, Ritzayin Ishvish, and Bechlal Tzvei Faker Tzugag. On an even deeper level, the opposition between them is not simply in the realm of action, but they represent two contradictory approaches. Was Enes L'Cher and Gantz and Sheol Dun Tzvei, which the approach of each one completely and totally negates the other. Ratzin Mardechai z'an Hogin, an Efe from La'yichra v'la'yishtachra, Kedivri Chazal if Temus Mardechai v'et Angeru v'n Yehudi. The desire of Mardechai is to conduct himself in a manner of not kneeling and not bowing. As in the words of Chazal, on this that it says, that Mardechai was called Yehudi. Chazal tells us, Hashem Shekafa v'Avedu Zora, Shekala Kefa v'Avedu Zora Nikri Yehudi. Because he rejected, he completely denied that. Oh, Avodah Zarah. Whoever denies and rejects Avodah Zarah is called the Yehudi. And the Rebbe Vat Yadir in Angeruf Moshem Yehudi, but the Yiddishkeit Bashtet in them, as there is Kefir by Avodah Zarah, the Yichar Vila Yishtah. Therefore, every Jew is called Yehudi, because Jewishness, by definition, means that one has to reject false gods and not kneel and not bow. And it is known as Das ist kein nicht nur Avodah Zarah Mamash, nor jeder Sach, was nicht verbunden mit Vavadah mit Savaya Lekech. It is known that the rejection of idol worship and not kneeling and not bowing includes not only that which is literal false gods, false idols, but rather it also includes anything which is not connected to serving God. Even if those things which are not necessarily opposing the Shulchan Aruch. That is Angeruf and Aveda Zara. Aveda Shazara Lay. It's called Aveda Zara because it is a service that is foreign to him. Das ist fremd zu Aiden. Warum der ganze Ding von Aiden ist, Lass es zu einer Wiche Shabbashmai. It is foreign to a Jew. Because it's from not necessarily a false god, but it's foreign to a Jew, because the entire point of a Jew's existence is to fulfill the will of your Father in heaven. Kemayme Chazal, as the statement of Chazal, Ani loy nevresi ela l'sham shuskei. I was not created except to serve my Maker. Yesas nevresi is called rega v'rega from kiyum adam be'ilam haza. Since my creation is each second of the person's existence in this world, it's understood that every detail of his service, of every second, has to be to serve my Maker. As the commandment of the Torah, and all your deeds shall be for the sake of heaven, and in all your ways shall you know him. Kol daf. It says specifically, call all. Nitna kol ma'asecha ala dayna ma'asim. And not only, it doesn't just say that all your actions, nor eichas yed ma'asa atzmi is kol kuli l'shem shemayim. The entirety of your actions. Doesn't mean only all your actions. It means the action in its totality should be completely for the sake of heaven. Warum eibs ist der Eibs, was bleibt kurz mit der Schimmisch des Kenny, ist das Aveda Shazara Loi, wie bald das das Hebe von der Vresi. Because even when he does a deed, and if there's anything else mixed in, except for the service, outside of the service of God, if there's any other thing that's mixed into his, any other motivation for doing any particular action, outside of serving God, then that is already Aveda Zara, because it's a foreign service, it's something that's foreign to him. Because it's the opposite of what he was created for. Bis die Schleimes muss er aus Masech ist nicht nur Shem Shemaim, nur mit Masech und durch Hechel Gufe der Eir. To the Schleimes that your actions are not only for the sake of heaven, but rather with your actions and with your ways themselves, you come to know God. Und noch mehr, Shemaim Atzmi. Even more, not only is it the Shem Shemaim, and not only is it knowledge of God, but rather it becomes heavenly in and of itself. The point that your activities become so sanctified that they themselves become mitzvahs. That just like the eating and drinking on Shabbos is a mitzvah. The mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. So similarly, a person can elevate his activities to such a point that all of his activities are on the level of a mitzvah. And this is the desire of Mordechai, not to kneel, not to bow, to anything in the world. Even those things which are permitted according to Shulchan Aruch, because everything which is not the service of Hashem is a service which is foreign to him. On the other hand, Ratzon Haman is Aveda Zara. The desire of Haman is false worship. Not only false gods, idol worship, God forbid. But yet, the Aveda Shazara Loi Farah Yidden, Zaindik Nit Aveda Hashem. Any service which is foreign to him for a Jew, being that it's not direct service of God, this is the desire of Haman. Zain Taina is. What's Haman's Taina? Since we find ourselves in this world and in exile, So it comes out that we are bound by the rules and limitations of the natural order of things, which the Eibishter created. al kofanim rekez the divrei shetzvan yonel, and therefore we have to take it into account.
Didn't
we have to deal with it.
Didn't Rebbe say in many places that a yid fundamentally isn't bound? Didn't the Rebbe say in many places that fundamentally a yid is not bound by these? It may appear that way, but even
we're
a Jewish farmer...
We're talking about Haman's tiny.
Oh.
This is Haman's tiny.
Okay.
So Haman is tiny, but being that we're in this world and in exile, and we're under the rules and limitations of the natural world, which the Eibush himself created. All these rules are created by Eibush. Therefore, we have to take it into account. We have to deal with it. We can't ignore these things. When you're dealing, at least when you're dealing with worldly matters, with worldly affairs, you certainly have to take into account the fact that we're living in a world that has certain rules and regulations. The Funkum days, so when this comes out, as Lassus could say, Ishvish could say, Mordechai Vahaman is Astir Mineyubay. So it comes out, trying to fulfill the desires of both Mordechai and Haman is an absolute contradiction. Shasa Idiofinsik and Elam Hazi. Demot in Tufins Managos, Akati Avdehashvirish Anan. And when Jew finds himself in this world, and within this world itself in the time of exile, where we are the servants of Ahasuerus, where he has certain limitations based on the natural order, the normal conduct of nature and the world, and the laws of the countries, and Dina de Machus Dina, the Bagranitzing from Hagiamadina, and the Shtetl Tsukim Atero Mitzvahs, the certain limitations which the customs of the country impose on a person when this is not a contradiction to the performance of Torah mitzvahs, zayin machriach al pi rotzon Hashem va al pi teira, zich tzufirin be'efim nesuyim, which forced the person, based on Hashem's will and based on Torah, it forces the person to, the Torah itself tells you that in certain situations that you have to follow the rules. To conduct himself in a certain way, he's only kenig yimot zayin derkim for kitzayin yishvish. It's impossible to fulfill the desire.